Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello there, Barry from Watford here. Why not come and see Angelos and Barry's show live at Dingwalls in Camden Lock on the 1st of December? Wonderful fun, it always is. Just ask any of the hundreds of people who've been. Yeah. Go to live.angelosandbarry.com for tickets. It'll be great fun. No.
Hello.
Hello, I've come about the job.
Oh, please take a seat for one moment. I think you're a little early, aren't you?
Well, I like to be punctual.
Yes, but you're a little early.
Yes, I like to be... Tomorrow you're expecting me, but
day early, aren't you?
But it's important to be punctual.
Okay, well, sit down, please, for a moment, thank you, while I just rifle through my paperwork, because I have to... What's your name?
Barry St. Michael.
That's correct. Yes. Well done. See, that's one point.
Yeah, well the weather's done. Ever so cold out there. Little touch of rain we've got.
Yeah, I know. It's been pissing down, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a couple of days now, hasn't it? Yeah, okay. That's good. So what job is it, what it is you've come for, is it?
It's the cleaning up outside in the hallway.
Okay.
The reception area.
Oh, is it? Oh no, because I've got a few jobs here that are going and available, and I had you down for crab management.
Oh, crab management as well. I can lend my
hand.
Oh,
you can do that?
Yes, indeed. I'm very careful, personable. I keep myself clean and tidy.
Okay.
And I'm always punctual.
And are you racists?
No more than the next man.
Okay.
If the next man is Tommy Robinson from the BNP.
Right, okay. And are you within the working age?
Excuse me. Yes.
Okay, that's okay.
No, I'm 82.
Oh.
I can teach a young un a thing or two.
What can you teach them?
Thing or two.
Okay, good, yeah. Good. That goes down as a big tick.
Okay.
Thing or... And when can you start?
Almost immediately.
Right, when?
Immediately?
What, now?
Well, almost now. Now.
Well, here's the crab claws.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the brush.
I'll get started.
And you go and just go and manage them, because they're all right in the corner. Go and manage them. Go and corral them into that little cage over there that I've got for them. Okay. She's one over under my foot here. There's one under my foot here. Get over here.
Got it.
Okay.
And relax.
Relax.
And I think you'll find anyone at home.
Yeah.
that was a valuable lesson.
Oh yeah, very
in
much
how
so.
To get yourself a job.
Oh, that's it. We were doing a simple role play there,
yeah.
And I was playing the bloke that ran the job place,
and I was playing a prospective employee,
job person. That's right. And we were just trying to show you the best way to go about how to handle yourself in the interview set up.
Like Barclays are offering kids, don't have a racist email.
Yeah.
Try not to do shit on the boardroom table.
Yeah. If you'd have come in and I'd have said, "What's your name?" And you'd have said,
"Sod off, you shit house.
Yeah. You'd have been marked down 1 point for
would
that.
Would have been wrong. What did I do? I said I was punctual. I made polite conversation about the weather.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. I made myself amenable.
Oh, you did. You were lovely as well.
I was, wasn't I?
Oh, if there really was a job going for crab management,
yeah,
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Do you like the crabs?
I don't mind them in a salad or a sandwich.
Oh, right.
Devoting my entire career to managing them, I'd imagine it'd be a sideways move.
I wonder how much you get paid to do a job like that.
Well, you know,
you'd be on the minimum wage.
I would imagine you would.
Yeah.
You could probably take some crabs home with you.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of job where you don't want to be shellfish.
Okay, keep them coming back. Keep them coming because you're good.
Well, the terrible thing was...
I'll try one.
Oh, go on.
You asked me a question.
So, ever thought about working with crabs at all?
Oh, yeah, I thought about working with crabs, but I can't really work with them because I've got crabs in my pants. That's not really a joke, is it? That's a fact. I have got them.
I know, but that's...
Big live ones, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a 2-inch crab down there,
yeah,
which I collected from Canberra Sands, and I stuck it in my pants, and, you know, it has a little nibble every now and again, but mostly it does nothing. It just tucks itself in, and it's nice and quiet in there. Of course, it's no trouble.
If you have a young lady back, back home to your place, you know, you've been out, you've been to Kenny's Cafe, pineapple,
day up the Cutty Sark,
whatever, go down Las Vegas slot machines. And you come back, you've opened a bottle of Asti Spumante or Matthias Rosé.
Oh, my God.
And you sit down and things take a turn for the romantic. And you
pull down one thing leads to another.
Yeah. You've been personable, you've been punctual, you've impressed her with your knowledge.
Yeah.
You pull down your
pants.
Your pants.
Yeah. And she pulled down her pants. Has she done that yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
The point
I'm getting... So I'm standing there with my pants down and it hanging out, or is it still hiding under my shirt?
It's under your shirt still. Okay. Would there be a problem if you go, look at this, and there's an actual crustacean hanging on to your dingle dangle?
No, I think that would be the reason to pull your pants down and show her, because if she was the right sort of woman,
she'd
appreciate that. Yeah. She wouldn't run a mile like a lot of them have done.
Oh, Angelus. A Zeta, this is in Australia.
Okay.
Angelus. Is that a piercing you've had on the end of your... Winkle.
No.
No, it's...
No, it's not. It's a pet crab that I keep down there.
Oh.
Steve Irwin would have liked that.
Hey, I really like the idea of...
If we look down here closely at Angelos's knob, we find that there is a crab attached to that. You've got to talk very quietly, because if I talk loudly, the crab falls off his knob and it runs down his leg and up the other side and into his bum.
Here, on the plains of the Serengeti, we find Barry St. Michael.
Oh, yeah.
With an armadillo up his bum hole. The armadillo. That's David Attenborough.
That's a huge thing.
An armadillo.
How did he get up there? Did you fall on it?
Oh, I fell on it several. Because you know when we went out Africa way.
Yeah, on the safari.
On the safari.
And you fell out of the truck and landed on the armadillo and it went up your back.
Of all the things, you know, with the adepts. A man, there's an ecologist who talks about all the endangered species.
Yeah.
So Margaret, she's come, here, listen to him. Listen up.
Listening.
Here, listening. Come on, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Of course, I had my shorts on.
Yeah.
Khaki shorts.
A bit tight, though, wasn't
it? Bit tight.
Prone to ripping.
Ripped all around the bumhole area.
Yeah, that's it.
She nudged me, and that moment we hit a rock.
Oh, yeah.
I went over the side, and as luck would have it...
There's an armadillo there.
There's an armadillo.
Looking up at you.
Yeah, looking up.
With his nose.
Yeah, thinking, I'm endangered,
Well, you are now, mate.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't pleasant for me, or the armadillo, or the rest of the party. You had to go back to the hotel.
Did you tell anyone that it happened,
or you just had it? I was embarrassed.
You just left it there?
Well, I left
it. Till you got home?
Yeah. I basically got back to the hotel, and I phoned up the chambermaid, and I said, could you come up here with some small figure, bit of E45 and a crowbar, and get this armadillo out of my anus?
Yeah, what's she say?
Oh, they're very accommodating.
Well, they've seen it all before, haven't they?
If you've spent upwards of £500-600 on a safari holiday, they bend over backwards.
Yeah,
and she asked me to bend over forwards. They bend over backwards. She'd come up, I won't do the accent. Oh, Mr. St. Michael. Yeah. We had something like this before. We had a Mr.
Van Marco. How are you?
Mr. Van Marco. And she said, we had a situation this before.
Brian Habana, he'd been here. And he went to armadillo at the bum.
But, and she told me about when you went on it.
Yeah,
do you remember? It was hellish, wasn't it?
It was awful.
Was it the giraffe safari?
I went on a giraffe safari and I was in a truck,
I was,
And I thought, I can't see nothing from in this truck, And I thought, I'm going to climb up that tree over there. You know, you're not supposed to do that.
No, you're not allowed.
Because they don't say why you're not allowed to do it, but I found out why you can't do it.
Christ,
and I climbed up this tree, and it must have been like 30 metres high.
Yeah.
And I got up there and thought, I've got a good view now, you know. And all of a sudden, this giraffe come around the corner, right? And I thought, look at that giraffe. Beautiful.
It was a beautiful creature.
Beautiful, weird looking thing.
Lovely.
Old bandit, funny, all spots on it and that.
Yeah, spots
on
it.
I'm never going to get this opportunity again.
Yeah, of course.
So I got myself a load of leaves and a bush, and I'm on the top of the tree, and I start trying to feed it. Giraffe and that. He's nibbling on the leaves and
lovely, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. He's like high up in this tree.
Yes.
And he's nibbling on these leaves and that. And I've got overconfident.
Yeah.
You know,
you
do when you're up there and that. And I start sort of just like hanging off the branch one handed and then he's nibbling me leaves and that.
Yeah.
And of course, my hand just slips.
Oh, Christ.
You know, and I fall out of this tree.
Mm.
And I thought, this is it, I'm going to hit the ground like Marcia. And all of a sudden, my fall is broken.
Yeah.
And I fall down, and his head goes right on my bum.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck on the top of this giraffe's head. Meters in the air, and I'm stuck on it, and he's stuck on my bum.
Yeah.
And I thought, how am I going to get out of this?
Well, of course.
You know, so I called down the bloke in the truck, and I said, Sanjeev. Don't tell anyone. Look this way over here.
Yeah.
And he went, oh my God, Mr. Epithinu.
Yeah.
I said, I know, it's a giraffe stuck on my bum. Can you get me off it?
Mm.
You know. Mm. So he somehow mystically tempts the giraffe down, you know, its head down and that. And he just pulls me off the end of it, and I'll get back in the truck. No one says nothing.
But they're nice as pie.
They are
they?
Very accommodating. They've seen very, it all before.
Of course they have. Yeah. My Margaret, I mean, she, because it's very rough terrain, she bounced out the back of that Range Rover. When we got back to Luton Airport, she said, "I'm just popping in the ladies." She had a marsupial up her arse on. She had a variety of smaller insects that had popped
gone
up there. And God knows how it got up there. There was a gazelle.
Well, they're very quick.
They're very quick, and she didn't say nothing about
it. No, she wouldn't have felt that.
No, but you know, some of the endangered species that disappeared up my wife's bottom, neither here nor there. No. But they're lovely people.
Oh,
they won't say nothing about it.
No, they're very discreet people. They must have seen very lots discreet. Of animals go up people's bums.
Yeah.
And yet you don't hear about it, not even on the internet.
Well, they want to keep the tourist trade as it is, and can you blame them?
No, I can't blame them.
You know,
I cannot blame them.
And mankind, what it has done.
What terrible things you've done.
Oh, to the natural world.
Ecology. I agree with you. I think it's terrible what we've done to all the endangered animals, like dojo and the rhino.
Margaret's bum, and you name it.
The white rhinos.
That went up your bum.
My bum. And, yeah, I mean, it's terrible, like things like polar bears. You know, they are nearly wiped out.
I've got two of them now.
And I don't mind that so much because they're really dangerous. And if they get close to you, they rip your arms
off. They
are,
but to be fair, if you've got them big furry things, they wipe out a thing or two while they're up there.
No, that's true. I know.
Oh, but you know what mankind does.
What a wicked world we're in. We've got nothing better to do.
Yes.
Yes.
But I mean, you won't look. You have to look in this. This newspaper, go to the back there, classifieds. Look, Tunisia from £190, right? One way. Benidorm. Yeah, Benidorm, full bed and board.
Yeah.
All inclusive trip. £300. Yeah, get to it. Serengeti. £560 includes safari and as many animals as you can shove up your bum hole. Now that is irresponsible.
Yeah, they shouldn't be advertising that.
That's disgusting.
That is not the indigenous population advertising.
Western man.
It's your Thompsons.
It's your
Saga Holidays.
Thompson's Gold. Yeah. Thomas Cook.
It's the bloke that runs Ryanair.
Yeah.
Him. He's behind it. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. Yeah. It's a bloke that runs EasyJet.
Yeah.
It's that lot, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, don't tell me, they don't know what's going on these safaris.
Exactly. Smuggling. There's a lot of smuggling going on up there, you know.
Well, you can smuggle a variety of animals from you.
From there. And you can make a lot of money out of it, as long as it's clean. So I've given up sugar.
Oh, have you? Is that how you're looking so svelte?
Yeah, am I?
Oh, very much so.
Well, you know, so many people said to me, "Angel, you'll have a devil of a time."
Yeah.
Like, trying to give up sugar. Because I was eating, like, 3 bags of sugar a day.
Yeah.
You know, just straight out of the bag.
Yeah.
And I said, "You're going to have a terrible time giving that up, you know, very, very difficult."
Yeah.
And I haven't found it difficult at all.
No, I mean...
No, because it's all about what you replace it with.
Okay. And what are you replacing it with?
I drink 16 litres of Coke.
Yeah. Well, there you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you're not taking as much sugar on board. I mean, you say 3 tablespoons of sugar and then 4 sugar lumps for that donkey you've got up your bum hole.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
but
she must be fed.
No, I mean, you do look good.
Thanks, mate.
Owen looks good. He's lost a little bit of weight.
Unbelievable. And when we do the live show on the 1st of December at Dingwalls. Tickets available at live.angelosandbarry.com. Thank you very much, etc.
Yeah.
When we do that gig, Owen will be there. And I'm telling you, ladies, he is looking like $1 million.
You got anything to say to the horny fans, Owen?
Owen.
Not really.
He's enigmatic.
Oh, isn't he? Like a man of mystery.
Now, we do feel duty bound to say, because we're recording this on Remember the 5th
of November.
Gunpowder, fireworks and plots. Don't go near a firework. It'll blow off and you'll lose the lot.
Plot.
Yeah. If you are going to buy substandard Chinese fireworks tonight, don't go back. Never go back.
I went back.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I went back. I went back to the place that sold me them.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shot me in the face.
Well, as I say,
never go back.
Never go back because you can sustain an injury.
Have you ever gone back to a firework?
I used to design them, mate.
Never.
I used to design them.
Never.
I used to, when I was out in China, mate.
Oh, yeah, when you were out there.
Oh, yeah.
You worked in one of them factories?
Yeah, I did. I made the traffic light firework.
Oh, right,
Catherine Wheel.
Yes.
Golden Showers. My Margaret loved them.
Yeah, nice.
Very difficult to get that alight. I found the Golden Shower.
Oh, no. I'll look for a light. I'll look, because you told me about the Golden Shower firework. And
yeah.
I thought, oh, that'd be nice. I looked up where to find them on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You don't want to look that up on the internet.
No, it's not. Know,
well, they're very popular in Romania, but it's not what you think it is.
No. I mean,
couldn't go back to that.
No, you don't want it. If you go to any...
near it, really.
You go to any organised firework display, that's a good thing. If your neighbours, Rod and Shirley, next door to me... I mean, they offer a fireworks party, including golden showers.
Right.
That's
a different sort of party, isn't
it? Yes, a very different sort of party, as I found out to my cost.
Your horror?
To my horror, went round there.
Oh.
They do, snacks.
Yeah.
They do, you are allowed to watch from the window goes on.
Okay.
But that's from the outside looking in, as opposed to anything. It's not so much a fireworks party, it's more a mass suburban gangbang.
Orgy. Yeah.
And,
well, I had a fireworks party last year.
Oh, yeah, did that?
Yeah. No, it worked terribly. I sent out little flyers saying, indoor fireworks party.
Yeah, yeah.
Indoor fireworks party. And I had everyone round the flat and that,
Yeah.
And I made drinks, and I made, lobster thermidors and champagne. It was a very, very big event, And I thought, right, it's time for the indoor fireworks. So I started a display and it went mental.
Yeah.
There's like stuff banging off the walls and that. I'd use outdoor fireworks in my bed set.
Oh, dear.
So
that was a mistake.
Yeah, the duvet caught light.
Mm.
And one went straight at the Catherine wheel that was nailed to the wall. That set fire to my Snoop Dogg poster.
Yeah.
And the Roman candle.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if you've ever used a Roman candle.
Not indoors. No.
But it's terrible because it bounced off the ceiling, and then it set fire to the vicar, and he had like 40% burns. We had to get him straight to the unit and cover him in margarine.
We
didn't have to cover him in margarine, but we just decided
because
we'd seen that on the film.
Yeah, well, that was fine, but when lighting that big bonfire with the Guy Fawkes on top in your bathroom was probably a silly, in retrospect.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Didn't like it. I was pissed when I decided to do that. I was feeling a little vulnerable.
Yes.
And I just wanted people to come to my house.
Yes.
And I thought that would be the best way to get people to like me. Well, setting fire to some crates in my bath and petrol.
Kids, let that look. If we've done anything, we taught you how to get a job, a job interview. Mm. Don't set fire to anything in the house.
Don't do that at home. If you're going to do that, do it outside, next door neighbours.
And don't stick any endangered species up your bum.
Unless you're smuggling, and it's a good technique.
What else have we been enjoying this week?
Well, this week,
that story? That man who had a worm in his ear.
Yeah,
did you hear about that? That's in the Evening Standard. Yeah. A man had a worm in his ear.
Yeah, the worm in his ear.
Aren't they clever?
I know. They had to pull it out of his brain.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it?
They had to pull the worm out of his brain.
The worm.
The worm out of his brain. Yeah. They had to put it out. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't leave it in there.
No, that'd be awful.
Because they don't know what would happen to him.
You'd have to be... I think what they done was
they got a bloke who is from China, I think, and they stuck him down on the bed, and then they got a chaffinch.
Yes.
Or a blue tit.
Yeah.
You know, one of them birds?
Yes.
And then they gaffer taped it to the side of his face.
Yeah.
And then they... just tapped on the bloke's head, you know,
to attract the worm.
And then after about 5 minutes,
he pokes his head out the ear, and bang!
And the blue tit's gone bang and pulled it out of his face.
Yeah,
it's a scientific method.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah. It was like that long. The worm is like that long.
Oh my God!
It's huge.
My kiddy godfather. Yeah. What else? A footballer's been in trouble for allegedly. Selling a sex tape? Bloody hell.
Sex tape.
We did one of them once.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
You and Margaret.
In an attempt to get famous.
Oh, right. Well, you put it on on CFAX.
No, of course. Yeah, we done it on CFAX. Of course, I'm like, oh, no, it's so embarrassing.
Don't do that.
We left it at bus stops. We left it on the escalator in the IKEA.
I made copies.
I mean, I left this thing everywhere.
Right. And you're embarrassed.
What did you do in it? Sex tape. Well, it was nothing too extraordinary. It was just a bit of kissing and cuddling. British sex.
Was it just you and her kissing on the sofa? In front of the coronation.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Cool. And
Saturday night. Well,
it was like, no, British sex. A big smoochie. I want to shine up your rosy bottom. It was really nice.
It was tastefully done.
It wasn't none of this mucky stuff.
We had a
theme tune. Hold on, I've got it here somewhere.
You're good, then.
Yeah, it was ever so good.
It's not playing.
Hold on. Right, let me start again.
Okay.
Here we go. Everybody come and see my naked body. I've got Margaret in the living room. This'll give you a thrill. I don't know what we're going to do, but she's perched up on the windowsill. I'm gonna smack her on the bottom and kiss her on the mouth. Wait, I do it.
Down south.
And, you know, and then she come on and she done her bit with, you know, it's sort of when... Here comes Barry, he is making me feel randy. He has got his pants on, he's going to pull them down in a sec. I don't know what he's going to do. He's flipping rude, ruddy heck.
Oh.
I'm bending over the sofa while Cilla's on TV.
Just time to do it before I make cheese on toast for tea.
Oh, that's
you know, lovely. And it's nice and British.
I would love to see that.
You can see it. I'm sure you can get it at Car Boots.
Because I've made one and all.
Oh, I love your one. I've seen it.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it on...
Mine's more German.
Ooh, how did that go?
Oh, God, it was quite... I mean, you know what they're like over there.
Oh, it's stronger stuff.
It's a bit stronger.
Yeah.
It's a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and I was doing it with this bird that knew her way around it.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
and I'm like, hold on, what are you doing with that?
Fräulein,
what are you doing with that? You know what I mean?
Don't keep that away from me.
And she's like, don't worry.
Yeah,
oh, that's it. Good fun, you know? So mum was more like this.
I am going to whip you on the tabletop. Ow, boys.
It was ever such a good one. You never got the theme tune quite right.
No, we never got the theme tune.
But then you tried it again.
I tried it again, and then it went a bit more like this.
Yeah,
it went sort of like.
I am going to whip your bum on this hot table top. It's made up for my cut, so it's very clean. So do not worry, I will not stop. I am Dirty Cow, and you are from Britain. We are a terrible match for this sex thing.
So, yeah.
It was lovely, because I picked it up a Car Boot sale in Boreham Woods.
Did you? Yeah. I need to do that, because I put it on CD. I delivered mine on Laserdisc.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I sent it round, and by the time I'd made the... Because I bought that Laserdisc cheap off Kenny.
And he
didn't tell me that no one else had them no more because everyone had moved to DVD.
Yeah,
so I was lumbered with about 300 of my sex tapes on Laserdisc just piled up in the corner.
No one
wanted it.
Did it raise your profile in show business?
No, I shouldn't do that. But I'm going to get it converted in Soho.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to put it out on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and see how I get on with that. But honestly, she was something else, this girl.
I think I remember Fräulein Seitzenvergers.
That's it, yes.
Fräulein Seitzenvergers.
Yeah, she's from Dresden.
Well, I done that film with her, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, you did. Oh, I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah.
Get 'em off in Dusseldorf. Do you remember?
I do remember.
I was ever so... Get them off in Dusseldorf. Get them off in Dusseldorf. Here we go.
Yeah.
Get them off
in Dusseldorf.
Get them off
in Dusseldorf.
Get them off in Dusseldorf. Yeah, the theme tune. Oh, here we go. No, I remember this bit. Oh, we're all friends. They're driving me around the bends. Oh, we're all pals. Oh, my goodness. Oh, where are the gals? Here we are.
Oh, yeah. It
was something like that.
Yeah, I know. What was that film about then?
It was back after the war.
Oh, right.
And it was an attempt
yeah.
to get the two horny nations together.
Back together again.
Back together.
Yeah, starring Windsor Davis.
Yeah, Windsor Davis was in it as the horny colonel.
Yeah, and Robin Asquith.
Yeah.
As the horny window cleaner.
Oh, he was ever such a one, mate.
He was good, yeah.
What happened to them British films?
Oh, they went down the pan.
Oh, they was lovely.
Them sex comedies.
All them lovely
all
sex comedies.
All that innuendo and stuff. Oh, I loved all that.
I mean, in the old days, there was a little bit of charm to it. Not now.
No.
It'd be all... Ooh, hello, madam, I'm cleaning your windows. Get in here and let's get it on. End of film.
We put it on YouTube.
Yeah, that's it.
Not back then. It was all about, you know,
hapless man being chased by an older woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like, I can't believe she's still, like, trying to get me to, you know, do stuff to her.
Yeah, that's it.
In his flares and all that.
But I used to like, I mean, I loved the 70s and I loved the...
Did you?
Loved the 60s.
Oh, I love the 60s.
Oh, I love... Of course, I mean, in the 60s. They often say, if you remember the 60s, it wasn't there. But I was there.
And you remembered it?
Bits. I mean, I went to see the Maharishi.
Oh, did you?
With the Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah, you look at the old footage of them going off on that train.
Yeah.
I was with them.
Yeah, you have them.
Yeah.
It's funny that, because I also went to see the Maharishi. And I think about that Maharishi, because he used to come, he used to live here, and I went to see him because he owed me 20 quid.
Yeah.
And he used to live here, right?
Yeah.
And he used to work in the chip shop with me. And I said, hello, Maharishi.
Yeah.
What are you doing over here? And he went, oh, God, I don't know. I don't know what to do with my life. And I'm all about getting pissed all the time that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, listen, man, I said to him, why don't you just take a more spiritual view on things, you know?
Yeah,
why don't you just accept that where you are right now is where you're supposed to be?
Yeah.
And, you know, don't think about the future, don't think about the past, because none of that exists. It's all an illusion. It's just about here and now, you know. And he went, I'll piss off, lend us 20 quid for some Benson and Edges. You couldn't get through to the man. Anyway, I lent him the money, I never saw him again. And the next thing I know, he's all like happy clappy with the Beatles going, it's all about the here and now, isn't it? So I went and followed him over to bloody India. I said, Maharishi, listen, you owe me 20 quid for Benson Hedges, right? And, well, he paid me off, didn't he? Because he didn't want to fuss. He didn't want people knowing that he stole all my ideas.
Well, you know what? It was the same with Dr. Timothy Leary.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in, turn on, drop out. He nicked that catchphrase off me.
I know. What's it, Kennedy?
Yeah, John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah,
right, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Yeah.
Right, that's one of yours.
Yeah.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Yeah.
It was actually originally Ich bin ein Binliner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I was mucking around, like, in Germany. You know, because he's all over there all the time and that.
Yeah.
And I was back then. That's when I was making my sex tape, and he's there, Kennedy, and I half knew the language, but I didn't know it completely. Anyway, she said to me, my bird, she said, look, can you go in there and like get something to clean up all this muck off the sofa?
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And I just grabbed it. I said, Ich bin ein Binliner.
Yeah.
And because Kennedy's in there watching telly and he's heard me say this, and next thing I know he's on the podium. Ich bin ein Berliner.
All right, I'll tell you what, I have nothing to declare except my genius, Oscar Wilde.
Yeah,
he had that off me.
Oh, did he?
I've nothing to declare except my genes, because I went to the airport. What was the other one? Jesus, what did he say?
he said the poor shall inherit the earth.
No, never. I'd just been down the garden centre.
Right.
I'd sprinkled on our lawn.
Yeah.
And I said, does anyone want this earth? Margaret says, you know, give it to neighbour. They shall inherit the earth.
Yeah. He said it was Paul.
Yeah, Paul should inherit it. My next door neighbour, Paul.
There's
people claiming some of
this stuff.
I have a dream.
Yeah.
I have a bed from dreams, is what it was. Martin Luther King was just passing near the industrial estate. And he went, I'll have that. He was in a fiesta. And he goes, I'll have that.
And you don't realise you're giving this stuff
away. You don't realise.
You don't know you're giving this gold away. Because Neil Armstrong, you know, with his, like, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah.
You know, that was me.
Yeah,
that was me. That's when I'm like, I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you remember when I was doing that?
The ladies not for turning.
Oh, yeah.
Was when I was doing my sex tape. Margaret don't like it that way, so we just stuck with missionary.
And you went, oh, the ladies not for turning.
And I looked at... Yeah, I went, oh, the ladies... I looked at them, and Margaret Thatcher right
on top of a ladder, staring straight through your bedroom window.
Yeah,
these people take the piss.
They do take the piss. I never mind the snooping from GCHQ. Yeah, Thatcher were doing that one time.
Years ago, on her own, up a ladder, staring through bedroom windows in Watford.
Dirty cow. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
So what about Jose Mourinho's?
Oh, dear. Mm. Does annoy me now when they talk about Chelsea. It's Jose Mourinho's Chelsea.
Yeah.
No, they can't just say Chelsea.
Jose Mourinho's
Chelsea.
But honestly, he's been on the phone to me, like, for the last 3 months.
What's he been saying?
He's like getting all pissed off, right? Yeah. And he's saying, I don't know what I can do to help the Chelsea football team, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, I'd give him a little tip here and a little tip there.
Move the defensive line up.
Move them up like that, shift them around a bit and wiggle about in the middle. Right?
Yeah, technical stuff,
Anyway, he's on the phone again, like, let's see, Angelos, I did it and I don't know what else to do now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said, look, just fiddle about with a bit more, right? Get rid of that nurse.
Come on,
get rid of her, because she's causing trouble.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, this goes on. He's like, ringing him up. Angela said it there. You know. Anyway, now they're lying 15th in the table.
And he's still on the
block. I said, listen, mate, I've given you every tactical decision that I know.
Yeah.
And you're lying 15th in the table. What does that tell you about my knowledge of football?
You know nothing about
it. I know nothing. I don't know why you've been ringing me. I don't know how you got my number. But I will take your call because, you know, you've got a lot of money and potentially end up getting stuff off you.
Yeah. I've had Mark Carney, the head of the Bank of England, on the phone to me. Yeah. What should I do about,
interest rates?
Yeah. You know, how do you feel about the economic situation in this country?
Right.
You know, should I raise interest rates? Yeah. What do you make of the current monetary policy?
Yeah.
I said, mate, I know all about it. You know, I was just watching Loose Women at the time and Margaret had got me a Bakewell.
Right.
I put my tea down. I said, Mark, can I stop you there?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about liquidity.
Mm.
I know nothing about interest rates, hedge funds, any of that. Mate, you know, shifting my savings from one place to another means taking it out the tea caddy in the kitchen, putting it behind the clock on the mantelpiece.
Yeah.
I know nothing about it.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
Well, you know what he did?
What?
He rang me.
Carney.
He rang me. I said, listen, Carney.
Yeah.
Look, I know you've been on the phone to Barry because he let me know. He told me that you'd
I phoned
be,
you up.
He told me you'd be ringing me. And look, mate, I know he doesn't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
I know a bit more. I said, I know a bit more about it, and, you know, if you want to know about fruit machines, the dogs, horses, you know, them casino machines that they put in the betting shops now, I can help you with that. If it's interest rates you want to know about, and getting paying off the national debt, then
that's not
I don't really know what I can do to help you.
I absolutely right.
Yeah, but he was on the phone for like 2 hours.
I spoke to the Home Secretary.
And do you know what he's done? He's put a lot of the gross domestic product now, he's bunged it in a fruity.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he's
got
on.
Well, it's crazy. The Home Secretary wants to know what to do about Sanget.
Yes.
About refugees appearing all over Europe. Yeah. I said, mate, I don't know the first thing about it. Now, if you want to know about homebrew or Margaret, how she pickles her onions, come to me. Come to me. If you want to know about how Watford played last week against West Ham, ticket prices, where to get the best burger in Vicarage Road. Sure, I can help you there. And he goes, okay, that's a bit of a blow sort of thing. I said, I can't help you.
Oh, no, because I had that Theresa May, she rang me.
Oh, Christ, she's been on the phone again.
She rang me up. She says, listen, what about this snooping charter? You know, about the internet and like getting other people's like stuff on the internet and all that stuff. What's the legality with all that? How can we do that? And I said, listen, Teresa, I mean, I go on the internet, but I use YouTube and I watch some porn, but I don't really know about that stuff about like snooping and and people, what the legality is really of looking at people's stuff. You know, in fact, I don't know how you got my number. She said that the head of the Bank of England had given it.
Yeah, well, presumably he's part of Angela Merkel phoned me up the
other day. You all right with a language barrier?
Well, it was very difficult, but through the, glottal stopping, I could just about make out she was asking me about monetary policy in Europe, ever closer ties within an economic framework, and the ever-changing narrative that is European, confluence.
I
says, Angela, I don't know the first fucking thing about it.
No.
I said, I'm here tonight.
Yeah.
Margaret's done me a lovely cheesy leek bake.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Chelsea, in the European Cup, and I might have a bath. But I need an idea. And I put the phone down to the silly bitch.
Yeah.
And I just said, Margaret looked at me like I'm mad. I said, Margaret, there's a limit to what I know. Putting that wallpaper, shelves,
because I had Banky Moon ring me.
Oh Christ!
Yeah, because he said to me, "Listen, Angelos, look, mate, we're thinking about decriminalising drugs across. You know, we're thinking about doing it across the world. And he says now that could have a massive impact on crime statistics and people's health.
Yeah,
you know, and stuff like that." And he said, what do you think? I mean, I said, listen, Banky, I don't know. I take drugs, right? Yeah. And I smoke and I drink and I bet, you know. And look at me. There's nothing wrong with me, you know. But as far as the legality and the ins and outs and the jiggery pokery of it, I said, I don't know what will happen. You shouldn't really be asking me that stuff.
Well,
you know, I've just got out of the shower.
Yeah, that's the thing with Banky.
Well, what's Crime Watch?
Banky comes in with a lot of highfalutin chat.
Yeah, well, he does. He blinds you with the science.
He blinds you with the science, and then there'll be a science, and you'll hear him go, hold on, Barry, hold on, and he'll do that.
You go,
oh, you old funny, you silly son.
Yeah,
oh, look, it's, oh, bloody hell. People turn. People have turned up. They want to do their
podcast.
They want to come in and do their rubbish.
So should we let them?
Yeah.
Right, so come to see the show.
Come and see the show.
Live. AngelosandBarry.com.
Now, it's the 1st of December.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's at Dingwalls in Camden. Yes, get your tickets from live.angelosandBarry.com. And it's proper funny.
Oh, it's really good night.
We've got Tina Turner Tea Lady on his...
And we've got the what's his name? Reverend Two Tone.
Oh, Reverend Two Tone, love him. He wrote the theme tune to this show.
He did.
He wrote the theme tune to this show, which for some reason they cut short every week. Don't know why.
Maybe you can play the Elfing Live for us when you sing along.
Yeah,
that'd be fun,
will you keep the whole of our theme tune in this week,
please?
Yeah.
Thank you, Owen.
A full endorsement from Owen there. And look, until next week, when we'll be live from where? Yeah, we'll be live from where? In Hertfordshire at Faith's House. See you next time.
Yeah, okay.
Keep safe.
Oh, bye-bye.
This is a Playback Media production served to you in association with Why Not Think People.